If you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You should have the handout. The handout that we're handing out today is Cults, Mormons, Part 1. We're starting on this. We finally finished the introduction after about 3 or 4 weeks on the introduction. So now we're going to get into the different ones. We're looking at various groups that we want to look that have teaching that is contrary to the Word of God. When we use the word cult, sometimes it's a strong term. People picture shaved heads or some weird things, but some of the people that are really the cults look normal and have teaching that is far from the truth, but it's often subtle and it's hidden. Last time we began with our introduction, and this morning we're going to begin to look at one of the more famous of the groups. And that is the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our goal, of course, for our study, as you know, is that we'd be grounded in the truths of God's Word. That's the goal for the study, twofold. We'll be grounded in the truth of God's Word because we have to know what we believe. We have to know what we believe so that when you see something that's contrary to what the Bible teaches, you will recognize it immediately. And the second thing is we want to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. We want to be ready to share our faith. There are going to be times we might talk to someone who's involved in a group, and as you give them truth, because the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, there's no telling what could happen. So we want to be ready to do that. So be grounded in the truth of God's Word and be ready to give an answer. Know the basic truths about what we believe, and then know some of the things what they believe, so that you can answer them. And you're going to find that the teachings often of the cults, many of the people who are involved in the cults don't even know what the teachings are. They just don't know what it's all about. They're in a group and they haven't got it all yet. So there's some things there. We want to do this. We want to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, and we're going to seek to share the message of salvation with others. Let's do this. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into the study. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for a great night last night and the Cowboys, and that was just so fun. And then thank you, Lord, that we get to come together this morning to worship our Savior Jesus Christ and to live for Him and to serve Him. And Lord, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to be able to study the Bible so that we can be grounded in the truths of your Word, know what they are, and then be ready to give an answer. So Lord, that's what we pray as we do our study, that we'll know the Bible, we'll know what some of these groups believe, and we'll be able to answer that and show people the truth from your Word. Lord, we just ask you to teach us now. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a little pamphlet which is from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's called The Prophet Joseph Smith's Testimony. Now, Joseph Smith is really, in a sense, the founder of the Mormons. And I want to read to you. This is from them. This is from the Church of Jesus Christ. And here's an event that happened. Joseph Smith was concerned. He wanted to know which of the denominations or which of the sects, that's how he called them, which ones were the right one, which one should he connect with. So he goes out into the woods by himself and is, in a sense, praying to God, tell me which group I ought to get with. And he says, this light appeared. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake to me, calling me by name, and then pointing to the other, saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself as I was able to speak. And I asked the personages who stood above me in the light, which of all the sects were right? Which one should I join? I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personages addressed me and said that all the creeds were an abomination in his sight, and all those professors were corrupt, that they draw near me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and they teach the doctrines and the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. This is from Joseph Smith. He goes out into the woods wanting to know which denomination, which sect, which group would be the right one to join. And God appears to him in bodily form, with Jesus in bodily form, suspended in the air. Now, we're going to find out later that's why Joseph Smith believed that God had a body. God has a body because he saw him in a body. And he said, which group should I join? And God says, none of them are right. They're all an abomination. All of the teachings are wrong. We're going to see that later on, Joseph said that he was instructed to begin the right one, the only right one, the only true church, called today the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because they are the true church in the latter days, the last days. We began last time looking at a summary of the cults and looking at what's a cult and why people get involved. And this morning, we're going to start looking at the Mormons. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see verse 3 for just a second, verses 3 and 4. We mentioned it last week, but I want you to just see the truth that's here. We realize that as much as nobody wants to say it, there are people out there who teach things that are wrong, and there are people who know what they teach is contrary to the Bible, and they teach it anyway. We call them false teachers. And notice 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "For the time will come when they, people, will not endure sound doctrine." People won't stick with the truth of the Bible. But wanting to have their ears tickled, a lot of people say, "Well, I like this, but I want something a little bit different." They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. There'll be a lot of people who say, this is fine, but I want something a little bit different. I want something a little bit unique. I want a little bit more. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. This has happened a lot in our culture because there are a lot of people who are saying that the church, and they're talking about the organized church, is irrelevant to them. They don't like it. They want something else. They want something that tickles their ears. They want something that's going to be a little bit more exciting than what, sometimes I've taught and I've had somebody come up to me and say, "Aren't there anything new we're going to talk about?" I said, "Well, as you stick with it, we'll go through the whole Bible over a period of time." But no, they're not. There's not a whole lot of new things. It's not going to change. Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, gives eternal life as a gift. The Bible's God's Word, and salvation is a gift. There's not a lot of things that are going to change. And sometimes people look after teachers who, in accordance with their own desires, turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Last time we raised some questions. I want to just look at them very quickly. As you can write them down, you may already have them written down. But here's the questions. Why study the cult? Why would we study it? We start with what is a cult? A cult basically is a religious group or something, usually centered around a person. Usually there's a person that begins these things, and the whole thing centers around a person, their beliefs, their doctrines, those kind of things. And usually that's what it is. Why would we study a cult? We said, really, so that we can get an answer and be grounded, so that we can know what we believe and why, and then know what they hold to and be able to answer that for them. The marks of a cult, there were six things we listed last time. I just wanted the big three. What do they say about the Bible, what do they say about Christ, and what do they say about salvation? It always goes back to they add something other than the Bible, that they have a different view of Jesus. He's not the Savior. He's not God. He's not the Son of God. He's something else. And that their salvation always has works added into it. Now, let me just say this to you. There are a whole bunch of groups that are not cults that have salvation by works. Many denominations have salvation by works. Many groups have salvation by works. Just because somebody's messed up on their salvation message doesn't make them a cult. But there are many, one of the keys of a cult is they've got this. Okay, so that's sort of the big three the marks of a cult. And that's why when we study them, we're going to say, what do they believe about the Bible? What do they believe about Jesus? And what do they believe about salvation? We're going to do that for every one of the groups that we go through, because that's sort of the key there. The fourth thing is, why would people get involved in these things? And we said last time, is they want a place to belong. They want a cause to stand for. They feel like people love them there. Everybody wants to feel connected and included. That's a key. When you come to church, you want to feel like that the people like you and care about you, and you want to feel like that this is your group and this is your part. Well, one of the cults do very well at that, because they want people to come into their group and they want people to feel like, hey, those people really like me, and that's part of the reasons. Well, this morning we're going to begin one of the more famous groups of all, and we're going to do three things, as we're going to do for every one of them. For the Mormons, we're going to get the background, we're going to compare it with the Bible. We're going to say, what do they say about the Bible, Jesus Christ, and salvation? That's what I mean when I say compare it with the Bible. And then we'll end with how to deal with this group. I've got two lessons on this. This is part one, and there's part two. Of course, it's just according to how fast we go, how slow we go, whatever, on how long it'll take us, and then we'll go to the next group, or our next one, and that's how we're going to do over these weeks to come. The goal, again, is that, number one, you know what you believe. And number two, we have an idea of what these groups are teaching, and that you'd be able to give an answer. You know how, what the Bible holds to, what they say, and you say, well, no, that's not right, because here's what the Scripture says. You would love to be able to, that if somebody came to your door and started telling you something, and you say, well, now, you said this? Well, let me show you. The Bible says this. Now, see, that's different than what you just said. In fact, that's different than that writing right there. Now, how do you explain that? Because this is the Bible. It is the Word of God. Right? You agree with that, don't you? Some would, some wouldn't. But anyway, that's what we're going to see. Let's start. Is there a slide that says the background? Yeah, there it is. The background. Let's start with it. Let's think about the Mormons. The Mormons are called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They believe that they are believers in the latter days. That's why they call LDS Latter-day Saints. It's founded by Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith Jr. around 1830. Nowadays, there's about 12.5 million Mormons around the world. There are usually two groups of Mormons. One is a group that meets in basically headquarters Salt Lake. They're the bigger group. There's another group called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They still have headquarters in Missouri. That's sort of the group. How did all this get going? Let me just say a few things. If you have questions or comments, you can stop me. Joseph Smith Jr., when he was it first started when he was 14. He was 14 years old. We'll come back to this in a minute. He was 14 years old. He got this vision of God and Jesus telling him that everybody was wrong and that every denomination was wrong. In fact, they'd all been wrong. And now we're going to give him the message. But when he was in his early 20s, he got a little bit further message from an angel, and we'll talk more about it. But I want you to just realize that here's Joseph Smith, 14 years old, asking which group is best. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. What group would fit him is what he's saying. And he's in the woods, and Jesus Christ and God the Father appear to him in bodily form, suspended in the air. They told him that they were dissatisfied with all the church, all denominations, and all groups, that none were right, and there needed to be a restoration. What I read to you all ago was what Joseph Smith actually wrote about this. He said that there had to be an accurate message because all the other messages were wrong. There was a message called the fullness of the everlasting gospel, and that had to be told. Now, I want you to think for just a minute what Joseph Smith is saying, what the Mormons are saying. They're saying this, that all through the history of the church, it's all been wrong, never been right. Beginning from the apostles until the time of Joseph Smith, a 14-year-old boy, that the message has been wrong. They would teach that Jesus Christ died and rose again, went to the heart of the earth, and when he went to the heart of the earth, he came to America and gave the truth to a people group here. Not back there, but here. He came back to his disciples, but somehow he didn't give them the right message. And the right message came to America, to a group of people that, truthfully, nobody's ever been able to find that lived here. Okay? They have been right, we have been wrong. He sent his disciples with the wrong message. For over 1,800 years, he allowed 1,800 years to pass before he gave the correct message to a 14-year-old boy. So 1,800 years was allowed to pass, and then the right message was finally given to a 14-year-old boy, meaning from all the time, from Paul, all the way up through history, Luther, Zwingli, Melanchthon, Calvin, Zwingli, Wesley, all of these people are wrong and have been wrong. But we have to choose a 14-year-old boy in New York to say, we're sorry, I'm sorry up to this point, I'm glad I found you. You're wanting to know what's right. Well, I finally decided I'm going to give the right message to the people because it's been wrong all this time.
Do they believe in the New Testament?
Yes. As it's properly interpreted in the King James Bible. One of the things that they say, and we'll get to it when we get into what they say about the Bible, but they say that the Bible is fine as long as it's the King James Bible, but it has to be properly interpreted. And of course, they're the ones that interpret it. So that's why you just can't say, here's what this says. And they say, well, that's not the proper interpretation. Walter Martin says this: with one special revelation, the Mormon Church expects people to accept the testimony of a 14-year-old boy that nobody ever preached the gospel from the close of the apostolic age until 1820. So you understand what we're saying. Joseph Smith says, I am the new prophet of God, and my message is the only right one. It's been wrong all this time. They've all been wrong. And so I have been chosen by God to bring the new message. That's sort of the Eddie Rector syndrome. Okay? God said Joseph was to restore. There was a preparation. It wasn't long after that till he was in his 20s. And an angel appeared to him. An angel by the name of Moroni. Let me see. I'm not following along with this, so you may. Yeah. Top of that page. Now, get this. Jesus Christ and God the Father appear to him in bodily form when he was about 14. Later on, when he was about 20, an angel comes to him by the name of Moroni. Now, listen to this. According to Joseph Smith, Moroni was the son of another angel named Mormon. Thus, they call them the Mormons. So let me ask you a question. Do angels reproduce? How is Moroni going to be the son of another angel? Does anybody remember the beginning chapter of Galatians chapter 1? And Paul talks about a gospel message, and he says, I am so amazed that you people, the people in Galatian region, have already moved away from the truth of the gospel. And he said, let me tell you this, if I are an angel out of heaven come and give you a message different than I've already given you, let them be accursed. Where did supposedly this message come from? It's an angel out of heaven. Just read Galatians chapter 1. Paul says, if an angel came to you and gave you a message that is different than what is already there, let him be accursed. Moroni was the son of an angel called Mormon. He said that there were some golden plates, four golden plates. He told him where to go find them. On the plates were Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, which was a history of ancient America. Here's Joseph Smith, what he says about it. When the angel came, he said he had on a loose robe of most exquisite whiteness. It was a whiteness beyond anything that I'd ever seen on the earth, nor I don't believe any earthly thing could ever make it appear this white. He goes on to say, not only was his robe exceedingly white, but his whole person was glorious beyond description, and his countenance truly like lightning. And the room where he appeared to him in his room, was exceedingly truly like lightning. The room was exceedingly light, and it was not so bright immediately around his person. And then I looked at him, and I was afraid. But then I was not afraid. His name was Moroni, that God had a work for me to do, and that my name should be had for good and evil among all nations and kindreds and tongues, or that it should be both good and evil spoken of among all people. And there was a book deposited written upon golden plates, giving an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the source from whence they sprang. He also said that the fullness of the everlasting gospel was contained in it as delivered by the Savior to the ancient inhabitants. Now, an angel named Moroni, son of another angel named Mormon, came to Joseph Smith in his bedroom and told him, there are four plates. You go find them. They're golden plates. They're hieroglyphics. You will read them, and they're going to give you a message that Jesus gave to the former inhabitants of this land. See, when he died on the cross and went to the heart of the earth, he didn't really stay in the heart of the earth. He came to America, talked to these people. Now, when I tell you what these people are all about, it will surprise you in a little bit. But here's the bottom line. He went and found the plates. And there were some special glasses that he could put on. I think it was a Dakota ring, but actually it was special glasses. I'm sorry. I just can't help it. He put these special glasses on. Now, supposedly, he was behind a special curtain with the hieroglyphic plates and the special glasses, reading to someone else who actually wrote down. They never saw the plates. I don't think anyone's ever seen the plates except him. This became the Book of Mormon, further revelation. Later on, there was another book he wrote called Doctrine and Covenants, and another one he wrote called The Pearl of Great Price. Now, this is Joseph Smith. If you remember, Brigham Young came later. Brigham Young also had some writings. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young are considered prophets of the Mormon Church. Joseph Smith is the founder because he's the prophet that God chose to give the new revelation. And, of course, as we said, it's extra-biblical revelation, and it's different. It's different than the Scripture. I would go back to Galatians. If I or an angel out of heaven gave you a message that is different. See, this is the everlasting gospel. It's a different gospel than what we have. They later moved to Kirkland, Ohio. They begin the group. People begin to form around Joseph Smith. His history of his life, and if you can read this, Walter Martin, the book that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, Walter Martin's book, along with, was it Ravi Zacharias, the Kingdom of the Cults, he gives a whole background on Joseph Smith's life. Joseph Smith was a diviner. When he lived in New York, he was a diviner, which means he would help people find things that they lost. He would get that stick, that pointed stick, you remember, that they would hold up, and then it would point down to the ground, and he would help people find water, and he would help them find things that they lost. That's what he did for a living until some of this started happening. And so he began to have a group, and then after they moved to Ohio, they got some place in Missouri. They got 63 acres in Missouri. They were going to build a temple. And by the following they had, it was polygamy, and that began to cause a lot of problems. He got arrested in 1842 because he had a conflict with a newspaper, because the newspaper in this little town was writing about him and the polygamy and the mess that they were causing. That's what they were writing against it. And so he got in some real problems, and there's rumors that he burned down the newspaper. The newspaper did burn down. The rumors were he burned down newspapers. Anyway, he got put in jail in Carthage, Missouri. And on June 27, 1844, about a mob of 200 people stormed the jail and killed Joseph Smith and his brother. After his death, at the age of 42, a man by the name of Brigham Young took the rest of that group and said, we're leaving here. Now, you may not realize this, but where are they going to go? Well, there's nobody wants the group. They end up where? Out at Salt Lake. Who wanted Salt Lake in that day and time? Nobody. It was a salt lake. That's where they ended up. And today, everything's so accepted. They said, Brigham Young University, BYU. It's just a college, isn't it? Isn't it just a college? No, it's not just a college. It's a college founded by a cult. I mean, think about it. You know, we can't be naive and just say it doesn't matter. All this matters. Early conflicts with polygamy and the government and finally, because of the United States government basically saying you cannot practice polygamy in this country, they then said that God revealed to them that polygamy was no longer accepted. But as you know, there's still groups connected with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that still practice polygamy. They have a lot of strange teaching. Today, many people connected with the Mormon Church do not know the basic teachings of the Latter-day Saints. I want you to understand that before we go any further, the last 20 years, the Mormons have really changed the way they do things. In fact, it's just since I've been a pastor, I've watched the change. Before, when I was at Dallas Seminary and before I came here, when the Mormons would come on the television, they would say, we are the Mormons. The Mormons was the title they would use. They would say Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and they would say, we would like to send to you the Book of Mormon. They don't do that anymore. They come on the television, and they talk about being Christians, and they offer to send you a copy of the King James Bible, not the Book of Mormon. Now, if you order a King James Bible from them, guess what they send you? They send you the Book of Mormon. And they always have these real handsome people or real pretty people sitting talking at a table. And one of them says, I have found something that's really helped me. It's another testament of Jesus Christ. And then they smile and she says, would you like me to read it to you? Something, this book has really helped me. And that's how they're coming across now. They're not saying, we're the Mormons. and we want to give you the Book of Mormon. They're saying we're Christians. We'll give you the King James Bible. Oh, yeah, we have this book to go along with what we do. They changed their old philosophy because in the old days it didn't work. Because people say, they're a what? Cult. You know, a lot of people don't think that now. A lot of people say, oh, no, they're like a denomination, aren't they? Aren't they just another denomination? They're just another denomination. Because everybody says they're just Christians just like everybody else. They're not. There's some confusion. There are a lot of things contrary to the Bible. Let's talk about it. Let's compare with the Bible. And when we start beginning to compare with the Bible, we look at the three areas. What do they say about the Scripture, the Bible? What do they say about Jesus Christ? And what do they say about salvation? Okay? Well, as we think about it, what do they say? I think the first one is, what do they say about the Bible? And when you say the Bible, you couldn't have an NIV or a NET Bible or a New American Standard or a New King James Bible, because that doesn't fit. It has to be the King James Bible as properly interpreted, not a New King James Bible. They believe that the King James Bible, as properly interpreted, is from God. But they also have, and let's just start. They have first of all, King James Bible. They have Doctrine and Covenants. Doctrine and Covenants was something that Joseph Smith wrote. It's called theology. He gave 138 different revelations given to him, listing the distinctive doctrines that the Mormon Church holds to. This is where you get baptism from the dead. He taught that you could baptize someone for somebody who had already died, and then that person who had already died could be saved. That came under this book. He taught about celestial marriage. And one thing you're going to find that's a little bit unique, you and I would say when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you're saved forever. They say that families are eternal. Not just a person who is eternal, has eternal life. They say families, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Under Doctrines and Covenants, they talk about God and man and heaven and those kind of things, three heavens, those kind of things. The other book is called the Pearl of Great Price. Pearl of Great Price gives background and history. And in the Pearl of Great Price, there are books called Books of Moses, Books of Abraham, History of Joseph Smith, Articles of the Faith. They've got little pamphlets like this that give information. And then the fourth thing, of course, is the Book of Mormon, which came from the plates, the history of the ancient civilization, the people that Jesus Christ appeared to. And then there's a book called Journal of Discourses, which was written by Brigham Young. So if you talk to a Mormon, there are two prophets, the ancient prophets that gave the foundation for Mormonism, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. Now, the problem with the whole thing is there's extra biblical revelation. I'd like to read this to you. This is from a person in Stillwater who is called, he used to be the former bishop of the First Council to the Student Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Stillwater. I'm not sure what his position is now, but here's some questions that someone asked him. It was a public thing, and so they wrote down the questions and wrote down his answers. The first question that was set out is, what sets your doctrine apart from other Christian churches? And he said, we believe in continuous revelation. The Bible is followed by the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine of Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Wisdom or Pearl of Great Price. That's one of his statements. Now, there's all kinds of things that I'm going to be reading to you in the next couple of weeks, because questions about what do you think about the Trinity? What do you think about afterlife? What do you think about heaven and the different levels of heaven? Is there such things? So I've got the answers from someone in this community, that basically says it. Hey, here's a question. How does one get to heaven? You have to have faith in the Lord, repent of your sins, be baptized, follow all the commandments. Can't be baptized until you're at least 8 years old. Can a person lose his salvation? Yes. One can lose his exaltation, but it could be gained back. Just we'll see things like that as we go through it. I just want you to see. Is that the second bell? Okay. Before we stop, I want to just say, we'll stop right here. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is what? inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You have the Word of God. There does not need to be another book added to it. There does not need to be other writings added to it. Now, it's a difference between a person who writes like a commentary, who tries to help explain. Like if somebody said, what does Galatians chapter 4 mean? And a guy says, well, here's how I read, and he writes it out for you. And you go, okay, I see what you say. That person is not saying that's new revelation from God, and that's not on par with the Scripture. That's just an explanation of a passage. But what we're saying here with Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith's writings, Brigham Young's writings, the Book of Mormon, they're all continuing revelation that has come to, in a sense, be equal with and supplant the King James Bible as it is properly interpreted. Okay, that's where we are. I'm sorry we didn't get any further. There's just a whole bunch here. It's going to take us probably 3 weeks to get through the Mormons. And then we'll get through somebody else, okay? Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for the opportunity to study. Teach us these things. Help us to gain an understanding, Lord, because there are people in groups that do not even know how far off they are and do not even know where it contradicts the Scripture. So help us to know the Word and to be ready to give an answer to everyone that is for the hope that is within us. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.